I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to start at verse 14. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Yes. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." So he says the kingdom of heaven is like this.
Yes.
And so what I imagine him telling them is that he's going to go away. And he's going to come back. And that is the promise that we have, is that Jesus is one day going to return. And it says that he delivered unto them his goods. And what I imagine that is, Jesus was here and he had a ministry. He had a wonderful ministry. He was healing the sick and healing the blind and preaching the gospel to the poor. He was impacting the lives of all those around him. But what I imagine him doing is him, in a sense, handing that over to the disciples for them to occupy.
Yes.
Until he comes.
Yes.
And so here he delivers unto them his goods, if you will, or basically the good news. He has delivered it to us to give and to distribute and to be about the ministry that he was about when he was here. He's given us that responsibility, if you will.
Yes.
To occupy until he comes. And so we have the two, the one that received 5 talents and the other that received 2, each going about to do the task that he had given them to do, to the capacity that they were able to do it. With what they were given. It says that one's given 5 and one given 2. But according to their several ability, it says. Or according to his wisdom and knowing how to distribute these things, he gave it unto them to prosper in their hands, to do with it as he would have them do.
Yes.
And yet we have one who holds it up and hides it and digs in the earth and hides his Lord's money and doesn't do anything with it, essentially, and only has it left to give him back when he returns. One of the things I was thinking about with regards to this is John chapter 14. Verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
Yes.
And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And so Jesus is going away, but he's leaving this ministry, if you will, to the 12 disciples, the apostles, if you will, that was actually much more than just the 12. I mean, there was the 7 that went out, and there was many others that came along after Jesus departed this earth to carry on the message, to carry on the gospel, to continue to seek after the poor and deliver the gospel to them, to heal the sick, to heal the lepers. He had given them that ministry. And he says, "Greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father." And so as a result of his going away, it provided opportunity for the disciples to carry on the work, and the work grew, massively. Just in the one instance at the day of Pentecost, I believe it said that, 3,000 souls were saved that day? As a result of one day, one message. And so the Lord poured out His Spirit upon His people and enabled them to carry on the ministry that He had given it to them to do. And it was up to them to occupy until He came. I was thinking also on how the story said that He divided His goods into them. Let me say it one more time. According to their several ability, right? So He gave them in accordance to their several ability. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord.
Yes.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit,
Amen.
Dividing to every man severally as He will. And so we have the Spirit of God that is essentially distributing the goods. Essentially, to keep the ministry going, or to keep the kingdom of God prosperous in this world, to deliver the good news to those that need it, that need a Savior, that need a deliverer, that work continues to go on until Jesus returns. Jesus has not yet returned, and so this work continues to go on, and it's our job, or our duty, if you will, to occupy until He comes. It says that He has given severally as He will. Now, He may only give us one, but that one we are given to operate or to function in the capacity that He has given to us. If that one thing be to not forsake the assembling of ourselves, that is a very important aspect of what we're doing here. If nobody came, then there would not be anyone here when someone new came.
Yes.
If we all just did this at our homes or amongst our little families, where would the ability or the opportunity come for those who are outside of this?
That's true.
To be able to find where to hear about the Lord, or where to find the words of salvation and deliverance for their souls.
Yes.
And so He's giving us these attributes, if you will, or these gifts of the Spirit. It's all working by the selfsame Spirit. None of it is separate, but it's all from the divine influence of God upon our hearts and our lives to function or to minister in these capacities. And like I said, some were given more responsibility. They were given five responsibilities, if you will, if you wanted to speak of it in those terms. And it was their duty to occupy in those duties that they had been given. To him that has been given much, much is required. And so that is the case with us. The Lord wants us to utilize what He has given unto us to the furtherance of the kingdom, and for the souls that are lost in and around us, for the edification of the body here, us. So it's not just for the deliverance of souls. It's not just for the lost or the unsaved. But it's also, these administrations are for us to be able to edify one another, to build each other up, to be an encouragement to one another. When one is down, another one's up. They can bring each other up in these situations in their lives and be an encouragement to one another, a comfort to one another, and that is what the Lord has given us to do. I want to Matthew 10 and 8. So Jesus is essentially, let's go ahead and maybe go to 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The reason why I read that first is because I want us to get an idea of what kind of things he's talking about. He's saying to preach the gospel. He's saying to go out and minister. And again, I want to reiterate that the gifts are not just about preaching the gospel. There was a lot that needed to be done. When they said to minister unto the poor, that doesn't necessarily have to be a minister or a preacher to do that. Every one of us can minister unto the poor. Any one of us can be an encouragement to those who are down or distraught or discouraged. We can give them hope because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so that essentially covers all of us, is all I want to say. Is that it's not, don't let us just think, well, this is the preachers that he's talking to because of the ministrations that he's talking about. But it's every one of us that can be involved in this. He says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Yes. And so that's what I want to concentrate on in this passage here is freely we have received. Every one of us has received something from the Lord. We've received deliverance. We've received freedom, if you will, from the bondages of sin and death. And we have the opportunity, the ability now to worship the Lord, to serve God. And I think of the song that we sang where it says, "I've enlisted in the service till I die." It's because of what God has given it to me. It's because of what he has provided for me, the blessing, the opportunity for salvation, the mercy of God, the grace of God, all of those things that he's poured out upon me. And it is my duty, but it's also my privilege to be able to offer that to others, to let them know that they have that available to them, that they can be free, that they can receive mercy, that they can have grace to help in times of need, that they can call upon God for themselves and have a relationship with him. The mercy of God is to them as well. And that is an opportunity for us to be able to deliver that message. Freely we have received, freely give. So when we obtain something so magnificent, so wonderful, why not share it? It costs us nothing to give this away. It costs us nothing to receive it. It costs us nothing to give it away. Maybe people won't receive it right away, like we've heard in the Sunday school. You know, it's almost like you cast in your pearls and they stomp all over them. And they completely reject it and refuse it. But to go forward and say, "No, this is worthy. What I have is worthy, and I'm going to emulate it, and I'm going to live it. I'm going to be it. I'm going to minister in practical ways what God has done for me to others." And the fruit of that is going to come forth. The fruit of that is going to spring forth in righteousness. And thank God for that testimony that God is able to change hearts in those instances. So here we have the Lord giving us a charge, if you will, to occupy until he comes to carry on the work that he started. He could have ministered many more years than he did. I mean, they say he was only ministering, like, his ministry was like 3.5 years, I think they say. And I mean, a lot of us would sit here and think, well, why did he go so soon? Right? He had so much more work that he could have done. How many more people could he have reached? How much of a powerful thing could he have created by just being here 10 more years, 15 more years, or whatever? But the reality is that he left and gave it to us to do. And I believe that there was a purpose for that, because he was just one. He delivered it to 12. And those 12, within, I don't know, a day after the Holy Spirit came upon them, we have now thousands that are able to carry on this message, to get it out to the nations and people far beyond. That it's no longer just here in Jerusalem or just here in that small country of Israel, but it's throughout the world now.
Yes.
This gospel is being preached throughout the world.
Yes.
It is available to everyone. So here in verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Thank the Lord. So here the Lord returns, and now it's time to create a reckoning, if you will. What I love about this is they bring back not only what he gave to them, but they bring to him what they gained from it. None of it was their own. None of what we do for the Lord is our own. It wasn't conjured up by us, and the results or the fruits of it don't belong to us either. They belong to the Lord. And that's what they did. They presented to God not only what he had given it to them, or the blessings freely we have received was a gift. It was a blessing. It was an offering to us from God. And so what we gained from that, or what we are able to do with that, is his as well.
Yes.
His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
I really want to hear that.
Yes.
When he returns, I really do not want to have it to be a disappointment. Or I wish you had. And it's not so much of that I'm imagining a Jesus that is, one eyebrow looking at me, but it's more of just a disappointment, a saddened. I gave you so much. And you just let it go away. You just let it slip. But his blessing unto him, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.
Amen.
Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I don't want us to think that we're striving after kingdoms and, power and to be a king or a ruler over things. But it just... it's a picture to say that there's benefits in serving the Lord. There's great benefits in what we have or to receive from him as a result of doing what it is that he has called us to do and given us to do. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you realize that it didn't matter that he only got 2 and the other guy got 5?
Yes.
You realize that there was no special accolade or words of encouragement from the Lord, but they both receive the same, "Well done. I'm so glad that you occupied while I was gone. You did well with what I had given unto you. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And I love the fact that this particular one doesn't even itemize what they gained out as a result. It's like they both gained the same. He says, "I will make you ruler over many things." And he said the same thing to the one that had two. "I'll make you ruler over many things." Let us just do with what God has given us. And as you show faithfulness and as you occupy and do what it is that He's called you to do, He may start entrusting you with other things to do. And you may end up with more responsibilities as a result. But may the Lord find us faithful in doing the things that He has called us to do. Freely we have received, freely we should give. I mean, we have a great debt that we owe to the Lord for the salvation of our souls. But not only that, we have so many people around us that need what we have. They really do. And it is difficult, just like we heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning, it's difficult to be able to make good use of our time to meet those needs and try to be a help to each one, because we think that it has to be a 4-hour sit-down session with somebody that's going to be the benefit. But maybe it's just a word.
Yes.
Maybe it's just an acknowledgement. Maybe it's just a, "I'm here with you. I understand what you're going through. I know it's difficult." Maybe that's all it is. And they see someone who cares. And they're reminded of someone who cares even more because of who they see in you. They believe that the reason why you care the way you do is because you know Jesus, who cares for all of us. And it gives them a glimpse or an idea of who they can go to, that they know who cares for them. And that is no small thing, folks. That is no small thing at all. To be able to touch the life of an individual in a moment of time and be able to have an interaction that has spiritual implications for possibly eternal spiritual implications is a very big deal. And we have those opportunities all the time.
Yes.
I have those opportunities all the time. And I fail to take advantage of every one of them, to be completely honest with you. I can do so much more in my interactions with individuals if I would have a mind to do those things. If I would have a mind or consider, "Lord, provide an opportunity." And this was one of the things that I used to do when I was younger in my faith and wanting to serve the Lord, is I would ask for opportunities. And by asking, I'm looking and waiting for opportunities because I asked for it. And so here I am going out and I asked the Lord for an opportunity. And so I'm looking and anticipating, is it coming? But because I was looking and anticipating, I was able to see opportunities and take advantage of opportunities. And the Lord blessed it. And I was able to go back rejoicing that the Lord was able to use me. Not only when it was, if you will, received. It wasn't always received. In fact, very often it was not received. But yet I still had the joy of knowing that I did what God had asked me to do. That I was an instrument in His hands and He was able to use me in a capacity for His service and for His kingdom. And that really blessed me. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine." When I think of this, I think of one that doesn't really know his Lord. The impression or the thought that he has of him is not what I have of him. The fear that he had of him is not something that I have of my Lord, of a fear in this way. If I have a fear, which I don't know, maybe this person is similar situation, the fear, but for me, my fear would be my inability. My fear would be, what can I say? What can I do? How can I make a difference? And it's all me, me, me. But the scriptures that we read says the Spirit gives. The Spirit enables.
Yes.
The Spirit gives us the words to say, or the ideas of what to do. Or if we're relying upon us, then yeah, that is a fearful thing. But when we can rest in the Lord and allow His power and His ability in our life to do these things, to work for us, for the kingdom of God's sake, then we need not be afraid. And we need not try to hide from the work that God has given unto us to do. We need not hide from those opportunities that come to us, but that we can face them and walk in them and not be afraid to occupy until He comes. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath."
Yes.
And so the Lord had given him the 1 talent. And he takes it from him because he had no use for it, or did not put it to the use in any way to bring about any gain to his Lord. He did not go about to help or to further the kingdom of God, but instead went and buried it and hid. It says that he was slothful, or he wasn't about his master's business, but was about his own things and was taking care of his own things. And he says, "I want you to take that from him." And so it was given. Freely it was given. But now it's been taken away. And what does he do with that one thing that he has taken from him? He gives it to them that have abundance, if you will. And this is the message that that man gets.
Yes.
"And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, that is a hard message. You know, I think of the scripture where it says, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many mighty works?" And he says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." To me, this is a similar statement to say, "Depart from me, you unprofitable servant. You did not go about the duties that I had given unto you to do. You did not occupy until I came." And that isn't just to say that you didn't take on a calling of ministry or evangelism or missionary work. It's you didn't take advantage of the opportunities that you were given to minister into the kingdom of God and encouraging each one to serve the Lord.
Yes.
You didn't fill your post, essentially.
Yes.
And I don't believe that the Lord has got a hammer over my head because of the opportunities that I missed. Don't misunderstand me. I believe that the Lord allows me to see that I missed an opportunity to help me to look for that opportunity the next time. But I want us to have a mind and a heart to be about God's business, because that is why we are here.
Yes.
It is very easy for us to get entangled in the cares of this life and forget about why we really are here and what our real ministry is. It is to minister the kingdom of God and the salvation that we want to live for eternity. This is just one space in time. It's a very short space in time. But we're talking about eternity here. And that is what we need to focus our attention on and focus our minds on and allow that to be what's important to us in our lives. I was wanting to share a little personal testimony, if you will, but when I was in prison, I had an opportunity to serve the Lord, and I enjoyed serving the Lord. And yes, it did get cumbersome sometimes and was heavy, but ultimately it was a blessing to be able to serve the Lord and be able to function in a capacity that He would have me to. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to be released, and I thank God for that opportunity. And when I got out, I started going to the congregation there in Fresno and was serving the Lord in Fresno. But I felt like the environment of the prison environment and the environment out here, I felt like it was different.
Yes.
And I didn't know that the Lord would continue to use me in the capacity He did while in, while out, if that makes any sense. Because for me, the ministry that I had inside was it was different. I mean, the people that I was speaking to were different, you know, and when I got out, the people were different.
Yes.
And the lives that they were living were different. And so it felt like, you know, what do I have to say? What do they need? What do they need, Lord? It was honestly what I was thinking before the Lord, you know. And so anyways, we were going about our duties there in Fresno, and I was attending services, I was testifying, but I wasn't really doing anything else. And we were getting ready for one of the Fresno meetings, and I was cleaning up and we were, you know, getting meeting ready, basically, right? And so I was in a closet somewhere, and I looked up, and I see a quilt, a nicely made quilt, handmade quilt. It was really beautiful. And I thought about it, and it was tucked up in the far shelf in the corner, and I thought, this is a shame. Who puts this up here like this? I thought, and thoughts were going through my mind, like, somebody put their heart into this. This was their service. This was this individual's service to the body of Christ. And somebody's put it up here in the top shelf somewhere for dust and spiders to crawl all through it. I'm telling you, this was going through my mind. And I was thinking, you know, this is a shame. This person's contribution to the body of Christ is being neglected and essentially like not being received.
Yes.
So fast forward a few days and we're in the meeting and a brother gets up and gives a message. This message of the talents. And it was like the Lord slapped me up beside the head. Kind of like David when Nathan told him, "You are the man, David." Mm-hmm. You know, remember David was like, Who would take someone's loaned sheep, their sheep that there was in their bosom, and their like their child? Who would dare to do such a thing like that and to kill that sheep and to give it unto his neighbor to feed him? You are the man, David. It was like that was what the Lord told me. You are the one that's hiding up in this shelf, that's not occupying, that's not functioning in the capacity that I've given to you to do. It hit me. And so what do you do with that? Are you going to be the unprofitable servant that decides, no, I'm just going to keep hiding away because of fear or because of the unknown or because you don't know how to function in a capacity that God has given to you? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not about you.
Yes.
It's about God. It's about his power. It's about his ability. It's about his work. It's about his fruit as a result of the work. It's all about him. And we're just instruments in his hands to do what it is that he's calling us to do. And I said, you're right, Lord. I'm enlisting to the service till I die.
Yes.
So whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm in your hands to do it. I owe you everything. I owe you all that I am. And I want you to do with me whatever you see fit to do the next morning in prayer and, you know, just doing my morning devotions before the Lord. He gives me this scripture. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? You know, a lot of times people attribute this to the fish that Jesus was talking about. I don't know, maybe it was. But I think of when Peter denied Jesus, before Peter denied Jesus, Jesus said that he would deny him. And Peter, his emphatic response was, though all these deny you, I'll not deny you. And essentially it was like him saying, I love you more than even all these. And so sometimes when I read this, sometimes I think of that. And so he's asked Peter, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time. You know, when I was reading this, and I can't hardly relate it to you. It's something that you have to experience.
Yes.
When God is speaking to you through his word, it's an experience that it is very difficult to reiterate or to share in the capacity that it was given. But it was the Lord asking me, do you love me? And my response was very much similar to what I imagined Peter's response being, and saying, Lord, yes, I love you. But feeling like it's almost shallow. Yes, I love you, Lord. But feeling like it could be so much more. And I can imagine him thinking, you know, of his failures when Jesus is asking him this. Is like, why does he have to ask me? Because I denied him, of course. You know, he's wondering, do I really love him? And do I really love him? I mean, I denied him, you know, before everybody. And the Lord asked him this three times, do you love me? And for me, it was an experience of feeling inadequate in my love to the Lord, or feeling inadequate to do what it is that he's saying to do, to feed my sheep, and feeling like, how do I do that, Lord? How do I fulfill this task? How do I raise my hand to this? When I don't see the ability in myself, I don't see the power in myself, I don't have the messages. You know, somebody tells me, can you come Sunday? I'm scurrying to try to find, well, Lord, I need you to give me a message, right? I don't just go up into my mind and come out with some scriptures. Believe me, thank the Lord I don't. Yes. It would be horrible, much more than now. But I don't have it. I'm at a loss for what to do.
Yes.
I'm relying upon God to do it. I'm relying upon the Lord to give me something. I'm relying upon the Lord to give me the ability to share it in the capacity that he's given it to me. I'm relying on the Lord to make it a benefit unto you, that he would do something in your hearts and in your minds and give you something from it that can help you in your life. It's all God. And so when I'm saying, yes, Lord, I love you, but I feel like I'm incapable. I feel like I'm don't have it to give.
Yes.
And his response is simply, just feed my sheep. I just need you to say yes. I just need you to go forward in that. I just need you to commit and say that you're going to serve me, that you're going to do whatever it is that I ask of you to do. And then I think of the scripture in 1 Peter. Interesting enough that it's Peter here that's giving this scripture. But 1 Peter 4 and 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another.
Yes.
So this is similar to what we've already been talking about. Freely we have received, freely give. Yes. So whatever it is that you've been given, be willing to measure that out. When it says minister, that means serve. Just serve in the capacity that God has given you to serve.
Yes.
As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth.
Amen.
That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And so that is the answer to it. Whatever it is that we've been given, whatever it is the Lord has put into our hands and given us responsibility, may we act upon that in the capacity that he's given it to us through his Spirit, speaking as of the oracles of God, or speaking through the Spirit. And whatever it is our ministry be, doing it with the ability which God gives.
Yes.
And he will be glorified. And he will be lifted up, and it will be essentially all God and not of us. Because I think if it were of us, then we would maybe have something that we could try to boast about.
That's true.
But we really have nothing to boast about. Anything that we do for the Lord, or any benefit that he receives out of our life, is all God.
Yes.
And the Lord wants for us to be about his business. And I believe that even in this day, you know, when he said that greater things shall you do because I go unto my Father, I believe that is still true today.
Yes.
The greater can we do even now because of what Jesus Christ did and what he poured out upon us through his Spirit. That we are not limited in any capacity to be able to do what God gives us to do.
Yes.
If we have a mind to do it.
Yes.
And so I appreciate your prayers. I thank you all for your attention this morning.
Amen.
I want to serve the Lord in the capacity that he gives me.
Yes.
And I want to be able to hear that blessed message at the end saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant.